Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Wednesday, August 9th, 2017. I'm Mary Sherman. We're highlighting several stories in today's news, including tough talk from President Trump on North Korea's threats, the Justice Department releases the first-ever standards for handling rape kits, and some creative minds needed to solve the Asian carp problem in the Great Lakes. Our top story: President Donald Trump used his harshest language yet to warn North Korea on Tuesday that it will be met with fire and fury and, frankly, power the likes of which this world has never been seen before if it does not stop threatening the United States. Trump's comments come as U.S. intelligence analysts have assessed that North Korea's produced a miniaturized nuclear warhead. Also on Tuesday, a North Korean military spokesman said that Pyongyang was considering a plan to fire missiles at Guam and that it would carry out a preemptive strike if there were any signs of U.S. provocation. President Trump is not yet ready to declare the opioid crisis a national emergency, as was recommended last week by a White House commission. Roz Brown has more from New Mexico, where officials there have been battling the problem for years.
3 years ago, New Mexico had the nation's second highest death rate from opioid overdoses. David Morgan with the state health department says that number has improved, but New Mexico still ranks eighth in the nation.
We recognize that we are making progress here in New Mexico, but we also recognize that there is just so much more work to be done. You know, we are still in the top 10 of having the highest overdose death rate for opioids in the country.
President Trump on Tuesday said the best way to curb addiction and overdose is prevention and suggested tougher prosecution and longer sentences for drug offenders, although research says those approaches have not proven to be as effective as addiction treatment.
Meanwhile, President Trump's comments that surfaced last week labeling New Hampshire a drug den have not been forgotten.
Trump made the remarks back in January during a call with the president of Mexico, according to leaked White House transcripts. Terry Norelli founded the group Granite Staters Reaching Out to Women at the start of this month. Norelli says Trump's remarks still smart on several levels.
Let's start out with the fact that it demeans people and their families who are struggling with a very real problem, drug addiction.
The Trump administration has not disputed the reported transcription of his remarks. Senator Maggie Hassan called them disgusting. Hassan sent a tweet declaring New Hampshire is no different from any other state battling widespread opioid abuse.
That was Mike Clifford reporting. The Justice Department has released a first-of-its-kind report detailing the best practices for handling sexual assault kits. We get more from Eric Tegedoff.
The report from the National Institute of Justice, the research arm of the Justice Department, includes 35 recommendations, emphasizing victim-centered approaches to sexual assault cases. ILSA Connect is with the Joyful Heart Foundation, a group that offers support for sexual assault victims and advocates for testing of every kit in the nation's backlog.
Having the federal government say this is the best practice is very much going to bolster our campaign to end the backlog by 2020.
The report recommends mandatory testing of all kits and that states set up a tracking system so that survivors can monitor testing progress.
Freedom of the press is a pillar of American democracy, and a new online database is documenting threats to journalistic rights. The U.S. Press Freedom Tracker is monitoring press violations, including arrests, physical attacks, and equipment seizures. Alex Ellerbeck with the Committee to Protect Journalists explains that while there's never been a more hostile time to be a reporter, attacks on press freedom were occurring long before President Trump began booting reporters out of briefings or attacking outlets as fake news.
The massive increase in aggressive use of the Espionage Act to threaten journalistic sources with massive and often disproportionate punishments. That had somewhat of a chilling effect during the Obama administration, and the fact that the current administration has repeatedly said that they want to top that is deeply concerning.
So far in 2017, 19 journalists have been arrested, 11 physically attacked, 12 have reported equipment seizures or searches, and 4 have been stopped at the border. As Asian carp make their way even closer to the Great Lakes, officials in Michigan are going global and offering prize money in the search for a solution.
In the new Invasive Carp Challenge, Governor Rick Snyder is opening up the state coffers to anyone who can help prevent the movement of bighead, silver, and black carp into the Great Lakes, with one or more solutions sharing up to $700,000. Tammy Newcomb with the Department of Natural Resources says experts are working on the problem, but creative thinkers can be found in every corner of Michigan and across the globe.
People who may not traditionally be in the area of fisheries, fishery science, fisheries management, and having just a different way of looking at a problem. Sometimes you can get clearer thinking by doing that.
Online entries can be submitted through the end of October. Earlier this summer, an 8-pound silver carp was captured just 9 miles from Lake Michigan. This week, the Army Corps of Engineers proposed $275 million in upgrades to defenses aimed at keeping the fish out of the Great Lakes. I'm Mona Shand reporting.
Eclipse glasses are a hot item right now as the U.S. prepares to be dazzled by a coast-to-coast eclipse August 21st. But some companies are skirting safety regulations and selling unsafe glasses to an unsuspecting public. As a result, the American Astronomical Society has issued a word of caution about eye protection after reports of potentially unsafe eclipse viewers flooding the market. Looking for the International Organization for Standardization logo with a label of ISO 12312-2 on it has been considered a good way to determine if the eclipse glasses are up to par, but the Society notes that's no longer a guarantee. I'm Mary Sherman for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.